You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Folks, I got a letter in the mail which made me very sad, and at the same time sort of struck a chord that gave me a good feeling. And these two these two opposing emotions sort of made me sit back and reflect upon everything since I began trying to educate the American sheeple and create a nation of real people. The letter said very simply, "Dear Mr. Cooper, all of your predictions are coming true. I first heard you speak in 1989, I don't remember the exact date, and I thought you were a raving lunatic. I must apologize. God bless you." And I'm not going to read his name. You see, I'm glad that I've been vindicated. That makes me happy because everybody wants to know that they're doing good. But I'm extremely sad that all of these predictions are unfolding before us as if we're sitting back watching some movie that we've already read the script for. And since we have so many new listeners and so many of you listen to this broadcast and you're so caught up in your beliefs and ideals that maybe you don't know who I am or where I'm coming from, I find that during the last almost 3 years now, it's over 2.5 years, I've had to do this from time to time, so I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to read you the introduction to my book, Behold a Pale Horse, so that you will have a better idea of who I am, what I believe in, and where I'm coming from. For I haven't changed any of my beliefs or ideas or ideals or principles since I wrote this book. In fact, for most of my life. Here is what I set down on paper. And those of you who have the book, you've already read it. You might want to follow along or you might just want to listen. But for those of you who don't know me and maybe have not been listening to this program for very long, or have been listening for a long time and are confused, let me tell you that what you're going to hear now is exactly who I am and what my principles and ideals consist of. They haven't changed. Nor do I look for them to change, unless someone can prove me wrong in believing these things. There have been many related sequential coincidences all throughout my life, incidents that by themselves would have led nowhere. Statistically, the odds against the same or a related sequence of events happening to one individual are astronomically high against. It is this series of incidents that have convinced me that God has had a hand in my life. I do not believe in fate. I do not believe in accidents. I cannot and will not accept the theory that long sequences of unrelated accidents determine world events. It is inconceivable that those with power and wealth would not band together with a common bond, a common interest, and a long-range plan to decide and direct the future of the world. For those with the resources, to do otherwise would be totally irresponsible. I know that I would be the first to organize a conspiracy to control the outcome of the future if I were such a person and a conspiracy did not yet exist. I would do it in an attempt to ensure the survival of the principles in which I believe, the survival of my family, my survival, and the survival of the human race, if for no other reason. I believe, therefore, that a grand game of chess is being played on a level that we can barely imagine, and we are the pawns. Pawns are valuable only under certain circumstances and are frequently sacrificed to gain an advantage. Anyone who has studied military strategy is familiar with the concept of sacrifice. And those who have seriously studied history have probably discovered the real reason we go to war on a regularly scheduled basis. Before reading this book, I advise you to play at least two complete games of chess. You must learn the rules they play by. You must realize objectively that some pieces are more valuable than others and that the king is the most valuable of all. You cannot learn reality if you get caught up in the fantasy that it's not fair. You must come to know that the ultimate outcome of the game is the only thing that counts. You were lied to when you were told that it does not matter whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. Winning in the world of the elite is everything. Indeed, it is the only thing. The power elite intend to win. My research has shown at this point that the future laid out for us may be just about impossible to change. I do not agree with the means by which the powerful few have chosen for us to reach the end. I do not agree that the end is where we should end at all. But unless we can wake the people from their sleep, nothing short of civil war will stop the planned outcome. I base that statement not on defeatism, but on the apathy of the majority of the American people. 25 years ago, I would have believed otherwise. But 25 years ago, I was also sound asleep. We have been taught lies. Reality is not at all what we perceive it to be. We cannot survive any longer by hanging on to the falsehoods of the past. Reality must be discerned at all costs if we are to be a part of the future. Truth must prevail in all instances, no matter who it hurts or helps, if we are to continue to live upon this earth. At this point, what we want may no longer matter. It is what we must do to ensure our survival that counts. The old way is in the certain process of destruction, and a new world order is beating down the door. To cling to the past is guaranteed suicide. To remain apathetic is assured enslavement. To learn the truth and then act upon it is the only means of survival at this moment. To shrug off the information contained in this book and to disregard its warning will result in the complete destruction of the Republic of the United States of America. You will never get a second warning or a second chance, like it or not. This is it. Stark reality. You can no longer turn your head. Ignore it. Pretend it's not true. Say, it can't happen to me. Run or hide. The wolf is at the door. I fear for the little ones, the innocents who are already paying for our mistakes. There exists a great army of occupationally orphaned children. They are attending government-controlled daycare centers and latchkey kids who are running wild in the streets. And the lopsided, emotionally wounded children of single welfare mothers born only for the sake of more money in the monthly check. Open your eyes and look at them, for they are the future. In them, I see the sure and certain destruction of this once proud nation. In their vacant eyes, I see the death of freedom. They carry with them a great emptiness, and someone will surely pay a great price for their suffering. If we do not act in concert with each other and ensure that the future becomes what we need it to be, then we will surely deserve whatever fate awaits us. I believe with all my heart that God put me in places and in positions throughout my life so that I would be able to deliver this warning to His people. I pray that I have been worthy and that I have done my job. And this is my creed. I believe first in God, the same God in which my ancestors believed. I believe in Jesus Christ and that He is my Savior. Second, I believe in the Constitution of the Republic of the United States of America, without interpretation, as it was written and meant to work. I have given my sacred oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I intend to fulfill that oath. Third, I believe in the family unit, and in particular, my family unit. I have sworn that I will give my life, if it is required, in defense of God, the Constitution, or my family. And fourth, I believe that any man without principles that he is ready and willing to die for at any given moment is already dead and is of no use or consequence whatsoever. On December 1st, the Grand Council Fire of American Indians presented the following remarks to the mayor of Chicago. You tell all white men, America first. We believe in that. We are the only ones truly that are 100%. We therefore ask you, while you are teaching school children about America first, teach them truth about the first Americans. We do not know if school histories are pro-European, but we do know that they are unjust to the life of our people, the American Indian. They call all white victories battles and all Indian victories massacres. The Battle of Custer has been taught to school children as a fearful massacre on our part. We ask that this, as well as other incidents, be told fairly. History books teach that Indians were murderers. Is it murder to fight in self-defense? Indians killed white men because white men took their lands, ruined their hunting grounds, burned their forests, destroyed their buffalo. White men who rise to protect their property are called patriots. Indians who did the same are called murderers. White men called Indians treacherous, but no mention is made of broken treaties on the part of the white man. White men called Indians thieves, and yet we lived in frail skin lodges and needed no locks or iron bars. White men called Indians savages. What is civilization? Its marks are a noble religion and philosophy, original arts, stirring music, rich story and legend. We have these. We sang songs that carried in their melodies all the sounds of nature, the running of waters, the sighing of winds, and the calls of the animals. Teach these to your children that they may come to love nature as we love it. We had our statesmen, and their oratory has never been equaled. Teach the children some of these speeches of our people, remarkable for their brilliant oratory. We played games that brought good health and sound bodies. Why not put these in your schools? We told stories. Why not teach school children more of the wholesome proverbs and legends of our people? Tell them how we loved all that was beautiful. Tell them that we killed game only for food, not for fun. Tell your children of the friendly acts of Indians to the white people who first settled here. Tell them of our leaders and heroes and their deeds. Put in your history books the Indians' part in the First World War. Tell how the Indian fought for a country of which he was not a citizen, for a flag to which he had no claim, and for a people who have treated him unjustly. Yes, folks, these remarks were made on December the 1st, 1927, and they apply equally today, and I thought that would be something that each of us should reflect upon as we go into this Christmas weekend. It is appalling to me that most people who call themselves Christians really don't practice what Christianity's namesake taught. It's amazing how some preachers can sit in their pulpit and reach out to their congregations and tell them that the mark of Cain is the pigment in the skin of all of the colored races of the earth, and that the white man is the true nation of Israel, blessed by God. And then look back upon the history of the world and see that if it's true that the races of color on this earth are really the descendants of the first murderer Cain, have been marked by God, or somehow evil people, how is it that history does not reflect that? In fact, if you look at history honestly and truthfully, you would have to reach the conclusion that the race that has committed the most murder is responsible for the most deaths is truly reflective of the evil nature of mankind has been the white race. It's not conjecture. It's history. And that the religion upon the face of this earth, which is responsible for more murder, more deaths, more destruction than any other religion that has ever existed upon the face of the earth, has been the Christian religion. I think that also should be food for thought during this Christmas weekend. I'm not telling you what to make of it. I'm just telling you that we need to reflect upon it. There must be some meaning to all of this. And if we want to have a better world, I think we'd better find out what that meaning is and do something about it. I was appalled, I don't know about you, watching the news, watching the dead body of the warrant officer who was killed in the helicopter crash in North Korea being brought back, returned to the United States. A soldier who took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States for America. Was brought back in a coffin draped with a United Nations flag. A United Nations flag. And I will predict that you're going to see more of this as they begin to indoctrinate the public into the true government, the government of the United Nations under the United Nations Charter. For as I've revealed to you on this broadcast, long, long time ago, and repeatedly after the first time, the United States Constitution is not in effect, has not been in effect for many, many years. We are, in fact, by treaty, by admission of the United States Congress, a vassal state of the United Nations. Our military forces are now scattered across the world, performing their true job under the misapplication of Article 6 of the Constitution under the United Nations Charter and the United Nations Treaty and the UN Participation Act, functioning as the police force of the United Nations. And very soon they will have to reveal the truth of all of this to the American people and confiscate our weapons and place us also openly under the United Nations rule. And it looks like this is not far off, but it will have to be precipitated by some disaster that the great amount of sheeple in this nation will accept as being legitimate, that will result in a declaration of national emergency and will cause most of the people to cooperate and do what they are told and give up their weapons and undergo whatever hardships are required in the name of this national emergency. My sense is that it will be an economic collapse of some kind, probably precipitated by a currency change accompanied concurrently with the devaluation of the dollar, or followed by rapid inflation of the dollar, which will relegate most Americans to the level of poverty. More evidence of this can be found in the state of Florida, where above the Gainesville, actually, it's the county courthouse in Gainesville, Florida. The United Nations flag is flying and has been flying for some time. Efforts by the citizens to take the flag down have been met with the stationing of 3 full-time police officers operating in different shifts to guard the United Nations flag in front of the county courthouse in Gainesville, Florida. I'm going to tell you now, it must come down. It must come down. If the citizens of Florida do not take it down, then citizens of other states must go to Florida and take it down. And guess what? In Gainesville, Florida, there's a second United Nations flag flying. above the Baby Gator Educational Research Center located on the University of Florida campus, a notorious socialist college. Baby Gator is located on Southwest 25th Street. The phone number is 904-392-2330. Write these phone numbers down, ladies and gentlemen, because I want everybody listening to begin calling. And don't quit calling. And I want the citizens of the state of Florida to get these flags down. This is the United States of America. Baby Gator is 904-392-2330. It's 904-392-2330. And the city manager of Gainesville, Florida, is Karen Johnson. She can be reached at 904-334-2011. That's 904-334-2011. One more time, Baby Gator, 904-392-2330. And the Gainesville City Manager, Karen Johnson, 904-334-2011. They need some education as to where their loyalties belong. Now, Baby Gator Educational Research Center, located on the University of Florida, is a private corporation receiving State of Florida funding, operating on State of Florida-owned property. A spokesperson at the University of Florida Public Relations Office said the Baby Gator is a daycare center for the students of the University of Florida. What kind of message do you think that flag is delivering? It's a daycare center for the students of the University of Florida. Now, I ask you, why is it called a research center? Educational research center, if it's a daycare center for the students of the University of Florida. When the University of Florida Public Relations Office was asked, she said the question should be asked of the director, but that they do have some programs which are done with the parents' permission and probably under the auspices of the United Nations, I would bet. However, I do not know that for a fact. But why else would they be flying the United Nations flag above a children's daycare center run for the students of the University of Florida, a well-known socialist-leaning institution? If you can answer that, I'd like to know. In any case, get those flags down. Start calling those numbers. Don't stop if you have to call all year. Those flags have been up for a long time, and according to our information from our people who have done an investigation on the scene, they intend to be up for at least another year.
Don't go around tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading, our sponsors, good sponsors, always there through thick or thin. They're legitimate, been in business for, I guess, about 12 years now. They have a buyback policy. They care about you. They deal in the only real commodity that holds its value no matter what, no matter what the economy does. And I would suggest that you call them and at least cover a part of your assets with precious metals, for it's the only real money constitutionally and in the law. You see, what we're dealing with now is counterfeit. And if you read the law, you'll find out that what's happened with our currency and our coinage is actually punishable by death in law. They've never changed the law. They've just done what they wanted to do, knowing that most people would never question it, don't know the law, never read the Constitution, don't understand real money. So call 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. 1-800-289-2646. Ask them how you can shelter some of your assets against what's sure to come. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, folks. Don't procrastinate as we tend to do normally. Call them. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Tell them you're a listener to the Hour of the Time with William Cooper, and you'll get special red carpet treatment. And while you're at it, thank them for sponsoring this broadcast, for without them, you would not be listening to it now. I wish them a Merry Christmas. Well, a letter from Mike Siegel, 1221-94. Dear Mr. Cooper, after last night's program, several of us were talking, and it became apparent to us that there is a problem developing. There's a certain divisiveness developing, primarily due to the infighting that we hear in the broadcasts of the various patriot-oriented programs on the air. I'm going to stop there, folks, because you still just don't get it. There isn't any infighting going on. See, when I fight somebody, it's the enemy. I'm not infighting with patriots. You're going to hear the truth on this broadcast, whether you like it or not. I've explained to you the Hegelian principle in operation in this country over and over and over again, and you just don't get it. I'm glad that Mike Siegel addressed this so I can have a chance to tell you about it again. He goes on, without pointing fingers at anyone in particular, it is easy for listeners to hear that every one of the patriot personalities has a problem of one type or another with other personalities. Each program and personality has a certain number of camp followers, and things can quickly break down to arguments of supporters of an almost religious nature. And that's exactly what you should not be doing. My admonition to you, ladies and gentlemen, is to listen to everyone, even the enemy, no matter who it is. Read everything you can get your hands on. Believe no one, not even me, unless you can prove it. And if you're not doing that, then you're still just a bunch of stupid sheeple, and you shouldn't be listening to anybody. Just do what you're told. Go get sheared when you're supposed to. March into the slaughterhouse when it's time. This isn't a problem between personalities. It's a problem with truth, truth, truth. You're going to hear the truth on this broadcast, whether you like it or not. Like I told you before, I don't care what you think about me. I'm devoted to principles and ideals, which I will not compromise for any reason or for anybody, and especially not for a bunch of people who think, can't we all get along? I mean, we're all just patriots. I mean, can't we just all get along? Folks, we're not all patriots. There are very few real patriots in leadership positions, and there are very few real patriots in any kind of media, and there are no patriot organizations unless you belong to a legitimate militia. And I know you don't like to hear that, but that is the truth. That's the truth. And if it hurts you, fine. Turn off your radio and go listen to somebody else. Go follow somebody else religiously. I don't want any religious followers. I don't want anybody out there who believes anything that I say just because I say it. I don't want anybody camped out around my house. I don't want to be a cult leader. I'm not starting a new religion. I'm just here doing a job, delivering a message, telling you the truth, telling you that this ain't fun and games like a lot of you think it is. And that when the actual fighting begins, because you haven't seen any fighting yet, it's going to be worse than you ever dreamed. And you're not prepared for it because you can't even stand the truth. Without any fighting, what are you going to do when the bullets start to fly? He continues, the problems more quickly show up with militia units. If a unit is made up of people that listen to three different programs, each program promulgating a different philosophy of organization and operation, it is obvious that the unit will have problems coordinating its efforts. There is even an apparently major difference between MOM and the Second Continental Army approaches to militia organizational theory. You can see where this leads, I'm sure. Folks, there's only one philosophy of organization and operation of the militia. And that is the legal and proper one. If you have a militia that believes that Americans are only Christians and Christians are only white, that's not a militia. It's a gang of Christians who want to impose their will on everybody else. If you have a militia that's made up of black men who believe that black power is the only power and that the black race is superior, then that's not a militia. It's a racist organization. There's only one militia, and that is the militia made up of all able-bodied Americans. And I mean all. Has nothing to do with religion, has nothing to do with color of skin, has only to do with people who are dedicated to preserving the ideals and principles upon which this country was based, and upon protecting and defending the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and first and above all, the Constitution of your state and the sovereignty of your state. The militia is subject always to the orders of the governor. If the governor fails to provide for a militia or to appoint the rank of the officers of the militia, you may do so temporarily until the governor decides to do so, and then you must give up your rank and accept the rank that the governor bestows. All able-bodied American citizens of whatever religion, whatever color, whatever creed, are members of the militia. You see, you still don't get it. I was down in Phoenix not too long ago, talking to people. I met three different people who claimed that they were the militia of Arizona and there was no other militia. The militia of Arizona consists of all of the able-bodied citizens of the state of Arizona, period. They're subject to the orders of the governor of Arizona, period. If the governor fails to provide for the organization, the equipage, the training, and the appointment of the officers of the militia,
then the able-bodied citizens may do so in the abdication of the governor to do it. But if the governor decides to fill that void, then you have to vacate everything that you've appointed and accept what the governor appoints. Unless, of course, the governor tries to appoint anyone who by law cannot be appointed. If you don't know who that is, look it up. I've explained it to you over and over again on this broadcast. What is this different philosophy of organization and operation? It's bullshit. So you just don't get it. And he says, so how do we stop this divisiveness? Well, it's simple. Get your head on straight. If you don't like what I'm saying, don't listen to it. If you don't like what somebody else is saying, don't listen to it. If you haven't got the brains to go out and investigate what people say and find out what the truth is, then you're just a puppet, no matter who you say you are, or how smart you think you are, or how educated you may think you may be, or how awake you profess you are. If you're not doing that, you're just another sheeple, waiting for somebody to come along that tells you what you want to hear so that you can follow them religiously. And you'll create another religion by doing that. Don't do it to me, because I will not accept it. He says, is there some way that the other radio personalities can be convinced to adhere to a common goal? Yeah, become Americans and stop being enemies of the Republic. How many times have I told you to read 5-5-2000 by Richard Noon and you still haven't done it? How many times have I told you to research the origins of the Liberty Lobby and you still haven't done it? Have you? This is about the enemy, ladies and gentlemen. Not about personalities. And he goes on to say, after all, you all claim to be in pursuit of the same goal, a prepared and educated populace. But are we? How closely do you listen? How many other radio broadcasters and leaders will tell you one thing one week and have a guest on that says something else 2 weeks later and they agree with it? How many of them are steering you down into cul-de-sacs while you spin around chasing your tail on things and topics and subjects that have no bearing at this point in time when we are losing our nation, our constitution, our liberties, our freedoms? How many of you are still chasing Treasury Gate, are running around filing $300 affidavits hoping that you're going to get millions down the road? You see, you can't point people in one direction. You have to determine what the truth is. You must begin to investigate. You cannot follow anyone blindly today, not even your own mother. If you haven't learned that, there's nothing else that I can teach you. Nothing. I'm not a radio personality. I didn't ask for listeners. I'm here on a mission to educate those who want to be educated and who are smart enough to investigate what I say and what everybody else says and determine what the truth is for themselves. Because those are the only people who will prevail. Those are the only people who will learn anything. Those are the only people who can save us from repeating the same mistakes in the future. And if you're not one of those people, then you are worthless to us in this battle. You are just a sheeple. And you're just going to follow whoever you like to hear, and that is the truth. And Mr. Siegel, I'm not picking on you personally. You see, you've asked a lot of questions in here that a lot of people are thinking. On a related matter, what has happened with the Constitutional Union? You made the announcement last week, but we have heard nothing from any of the other third parties involved. Why don't you ask the other third parties? I've given you what we have done in the Constitution Party. That's all I can do. I don't speak for the other parties. You should ask them. They all had representatives there. And we're all going back to Kansas City on the 6th and 7th of January to go into the next step, to put our plan into action. That's what's happening. And that's one of the things that I was going to tell you tonight. But I can't speak for the other third parties. I don't know what their motivations are in not talking about what happened in Kansas City on December the 2nd and 3rd. And he says, I am under the impression that some of these other radio personalities have close ties with the libertarian, populist, and other parties, and yet we have heard nothing of the coalition. So what gives? Is it simply not going their way? Again, you have to ask them. They all signed it. And on an unrelated note, I know you have a problem with ham radio. Now, where did you get that? I've never had a problem with ham radio. The only problem I've ever had, I went down to try to get a 2-meter band license and they wouldn't even give me the test. But ham radio problem? No. I know many people who are in ham radio. I did reveal to you, though, that if you get a license and you sign the little thing and accept it, that you no longer have the protection of the Fourth Amendment. But that's not my problem. That's your problem if you have a ham operator's license. No, there are some fine people out there who are in ham radio. Real fine people. I don't know. You see, I don't know where this stuff comes from. I don't know why you think I have a problem with ham radio. And you're right. Every militia unit ought to attempt to recruit a couple of hams just to gain the equipment and experienced operators. That's absolutely true. You're right on the button there. And he goes on. In fact, it provides an opportunity to exchange information now while the bands are still free. What do you mean still free? They're always free. You either choose to have a license or not to have a license. But the bands are free. They're there for anybody to use. And if war breaks out, ladies and gentlemen, why would you need a license? What makes you think the bands would not be free under that situation? So, anyway, I hope that answers your questions and a lot of other questions that people may have had out there. That's one of the reasons why I read the introduction to my book again. Now, remember the two federal agents that were fired for their roles in leading the ill-fated raid on Branch Davidian and David Koresh and the raid that resulted in the death of about 100 people all total? Murder. Well, they fired these two guys, Charles Sarabin and Philip Kojnacki, both based in Houston. And today, they reinstated them with all their back pay and allowances and took all reference to it off of their record. I told you that would happen. I told you that they were just used to mollycoddle the public and that they would be rewarded in some way, and they just were. Now, I want to read you something else here. I get this silly stuff all the time. It said, Dear Mr. Cooper, I have heard you on more than one occasion steadfastly proclaim on the air that this New World Order is not a Jewish conspiracy. I would like to choose to differ with you, and that's your right. It is. Nobody has to believe what I believe or anything. You can always differ with me if you like. And although there is amounts of proof to document that you may be wrong, I would like to offer just one short piece by a Jew himself. I also want to state that I am no more a racist than you are, and that is pure truth. You say yourself on the air that we must know the enemy. You have done admirable work at this, exposing the ADL, secret societies, mystery religions, etc. It is most perplexing why you always stop at identifying the underlying source of most of this, that is, of course, Jewry. By naming Jews, one is not referring to one such as your friend, Mr. Russo. And see how ridiculous this is, folks? He says, Jews. Jews. Mr. Russo is a Jew, but because he's my friend, he's automatically exempt? sometimes I go home and I sit on the couch and I shake my head and I'm just sort of in a daze for a long time after reading the mail I get. And I just don't know where you guys get your heads from. You see, your logic doesn't work. Then he says, the Jews in discussion are Khazarian, Zionist, Bolshevik, self-proclaimed Jews who are in truth no more of Hebrew lineage than you or I. In other words, they're not Jews, is what he's saying. This group has played the role of usurpers and parasites all through man's history. Sorry if it looks racist to you or others for telling the pure truth, but if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then by God, it is a duck. To make the analogy of the term Jew most easy to understand, I submit that Jew is not about race, creed, or color. Sammy Davis Jr. proclaimed himself a Jew. Well, then, now you're leaving out Sammy Davis Jr., but you're saying it's the Jews, and at the same time you're saying that the Jews are not the Jews. They're Khazarian, Zionist, Bolshevik, self-proclaimed Jews. And he says, it is this simple. Jew is Antichrist, and Christian is of Christ. And here we go again. If you're not a Christian, you don't belong in this world. You can't be an American, you can't be in the militia, and you're Antichrist. And I tell you that you're entitled to your beliefs, but you're wrong. And I know a lot of good, decent, honest Jews who are American patriots, who work hard for their living, who all they want to do is raise their children and be happy in this country, who don't know any more about what's going on in this world than anybody else. It's not the Jews. It's some Jews. It's some Catholics. It's some atheists. It's some Presbyterians. It's some Chinese. It's some Russians. It's a whole lot of people in London and New York and Washington, D.C. It's some blacks who buy into all this crap. But you've all got to have an enemy. And if you're a Christian, it's got to be the Jews. The Jews killed Christ, right? Just the Jews. Pontius Pilate didn't have anything to do with it, did he? Neither did Rome. Mm-mm. Neither did his own disciples who renounced him. Peter renounced him 3 times, and none of them came to his aid. They didn't try to recruit an army and go rescue him, did they? So you blame it on the Jews, and then you tell me that the Jews are not the Jews, and you exempt some Jews because one is a friend of mine and one is a black entertainer. Sometimes I think you people have absolutely nothing, nothing between your ears. You have no logic. You have no sense. And I want to tell you all, you people, something. All of you people who told me that Philip and Marlene Marsh of the Pilot Connection were wrong. That everybody connected with them were going to jail and that they were going to spend the rest of their life in jail. You're wrong. You're wrong. On November the 30th, 1994, Philip and Marlene Marsh of the Pilot Connection, who were indicted last year after untaxing over 10,000 citizens and blasting the Internal Revenue Service on the 2020 national television program, were not convicted on any of the 45 counts the government brought against them. They were exonerated, acquitted. They are free. On the same day on national radio, Paul Harvey announced that the 10th Circuit Court has admitted that we are not required to file a 1040 form. Wake up. And for all of you who abandoned Philip and Marlene Marsh simply because they were arrested and you were afraid that you were going to be arrested too, and to all of those of you who buckled under and when you were threatened by the IRS, gave evidence against them or against other people who were connected with them, for all of you, hang your head in shame. and then ask God for forgiveness. And I hope you're man or woman enough to write to Philip and Marlene Marsh and ask them for forgiveness. To all of you, over this Christmas weekend, I suggest you read the words in red and none other. None other. And then reflect upon how you lead your life and how you treat other people and what the real meaning of America and Americans is. If you're a racist, stop being a racist. If you're a Christian, be a Christian and leave everybody else alone. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Good night, and God bless you all.
Try.